Tim, thank you very much. And ladies, thank you for the gracious opportunity, and thanks to the committee for your willingness to bring Peggy's husband along. I guess that's my claim to fame. I was at a women's conference a few years ago with her, and we were out to eat, and women would go by and take pictures through the window. And so I jokingly refer to the paparazzi. I've never had that when I travel and speak, but in our marriage, I guess for sure she's the rock star. But anyway, it's my privilege. I guess I'm here to carry the baggage, if nothing else. So that's good for us to do. Tim and Sandy, great to see you again. It's great to be back here in Iowa. Peggy is originally from Iowa. She grew up in Waterloo, and I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania. We met at Baptist Bible College of Pennsylvania. I am not kidding you about this. She asked me out first. That happened to me a lot, but no, I'm just kidding. Like never before or again. But anyway, we got married after we graduated, and I served in Michigan as a youth pastor, as a pastor, and then came to teach at Faith, and started in 1983, and served on the faculty at Faith for 6 years, and then God gave us the opportunity for me to go back home. And so I moved back to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, which is where Baptist Bible College is. I serve now as Vice President of Communications and External Relations, which means church relations and marketing and alumni and things like that. And I bring you greetings from our college. I'll tell you a little bit more. It's not my job this weekend to give you a commercial, but I will tell you a little bit more about what God's doing at BBC tomorrow morning. I know that many of you were here for Peggy's session, and so that will, I'm sure, challenge your heart to pray for me, because I have to put up with that all the time. And I need to say this with all sincerity, I really do, and that is Peggy is the most real and genuine person that I know. What you see is what you get. And I live with her. We celebrated this summer our 38th anniversary. How about that? And we got married in Waterloo, and we got married on Friday the 13th. We did, and tornadoes hit all over town that night. But we didn't care. We're getting married, and that was 38 years ago. Peggy and I. She told you a little bit about this. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this tomorrow morning, too, but we have three children. Our oldest is a daughter, Christy, is a missionary in Berlin, Germany. A little bit of Walker trivia. Christy is the first girl in my side of the family, in the Walker side of the family, in five generations. There's just no Walker girls. My grandpa Walker, this has to be some kind of record, or at least close to it. My grandpa Walker was one of 13 boys. You think there's any wonder why my great-grandma quit? Like, enough's enough, I'm done. I'm not going to get a girl. My grandma Walker married one of them, and he passed away early. True story. So she married his brother. Why not? There's 12 more coming. My dad's generation, all boys. My generation, all boys. Only brothers, only boy cousins, and my older brother has only boys. And I remember we lived in Michigan at the time, and we had our firstborn, Christy. And I called my dad. I said, "Dad, it's a girl." He fainted. And I got to tell you, ladies, I didn't know what to do with a girl. I thought they would break. And I say all of that for this, and this is going to relate to a lot of what I say this weekend and a lot of my heart. And some of you will understand this. You will. And that is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my entire life was say goodbye to my little girl when she got on the airplane and moved everything she had to Berlin, Germany. And that was over 10 years ago. But if I'm going to travel around the country and tell you, and I'm going to, at the top of my lungs, and your children, to do the will of God, it better be okay for my kid too, even my little girl. And it's all good because we get to take vacations in Europe. So how about that? And I got to tell you, driving on the Autobahn is a blast. You can drive as fast as you possibly can and then get out of the way because somebody's coming behind you faster. But that's our daughter. And I'm going to show you some pictures tomorrow morning about our family. And then in the Walker tradition, we have two boys. Our oldest son, Todd, is a missionary with Vision for Youth. That was an organization that I helped start. He's a missionary on the campus. He and his wife, Janine, on the campus of Eastern Michigan University, which is near Detroit, Ann Arbor. And they're also planning a church. And Todd and Janine have three little boys, including identical twin boys who were born this summer, Titus and Levi. Titus, Mel, Walker. And twin boys. And I'm gonna show you some pictures tomorrow morning. And I'm doing that because Peggy told me to. And then Travis and his wife, Casey, just moved just a couple of months ago to Ankeny. And Travis is a youth pastor, and they have three children. And Lana, who is eight, is in third grade. And Ellie, who is five, is in first grade. And I think they understand already that they can get anything they want from Grandpa. I think they understand that already. Lana, she's in third grade. She was talking to me about the car the other day. And then this summer they had a little boy as well, Finn. And so it's all about, at the grandparent stage, some of you understand this. At the grandparent stage, it's all about us. The kids are like, who cares? It's the grandkids. And so within 10 days, we had three new grandsons. And so, and again, I'm going to show you a couple pictures tomorrow because Peggy doesn't want to take her time, but she's making me. So anyway, she mentioned this. We love traveling together. We travel enough separately that it's fun for us to be able to travel together and to be able to be back in Iowa and spend some time with Peg's mom. My mother-in-law, Helen, is here. And so that's very good for us. And we have great memories of our time together here at Ankeny with the Capons and others. And it's great seeing a lot of you again. Although, I need to say this. I have the opportunity to speak to, you know, I've been a lot of places around the world. And it's no problem for me to speak to an arena full of teenagers. And I've spoken at conferences with hundreds of people. But I got to tell you, women's conferences intimidate me. I feel out of my league. I just had to walk a mile to find a restroom. And and I can't tell you how glad I am that Tim's staying with me, because at least there's two of us. But anyway, please be kind to me. I'm out of my league. But anyway, no, it's great being back. We love being able to travel together. And although she drove out so she could spend some time with family and especially grandkids, and I flew out because of my ministry at BBC and staying over on Sunday, speak in Mason City, and then headed back. And I actually, before I go home, actually have a pastor's conference that I'm speaking in Ohio about the book. Tim talked about the book. Faith has a bookstore there. Please stop in. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that because that's my heart. I believe in resources. I believe in that with all my heart. The newest book came out this year. It's called Intergenerational Youth Ministry, but it's not a youth ministry book. It's just saying something that I'm going to spend a lot of time this weekend talking with you about, and that is that youth are important. I believe that it's critically important for the church, for us as believers, to be able to reproduce ourselves in the lives of the next generation. And I talk about that book, about the importance of developing intergenerational connections in the church. And in fact, if you take your notebooks, in this session, I want to talk with you about one way to do that, and that is through the concept of mentoring. There in the notes, but also on the PowerPoint behind me, is my contact information. And I say that because, both of us love resources, be able to help people, church people and church leaders and people who are involved in ministry, and if there's ever anything that I can do to help in your ministry, then please contact me. It's probably best, easiest to send an email. So my email address is mwalker@bbc.edu. That's the address of the college. And then one other thing, and that is at the bottom of the slide behind me, there is a website, which is intergenerationalyouthministry.com. And there's a lot of resources on there. If you're interested in this idea, tomorrow afternoon I'm going to present the premise of the book. This session I'm going to talk about mentoring. And we'll talk about what that means in just a moment. But there's some resources there, many of those things, Bible studies, notes, a video, audio, a lot of that that's there for free on that website. And I'd be happy to talk with you about that individually as well. Again, it's our great privilege to be there. Let's dig in, shall we? Let's go in with the notes. Let me pray. We'll ask God's blessing on the material and our session again. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your people and that we could gather here together this weekend. I thank you for Iowa Regular Baptist Camp and Phil and Barb and their friendship, but also this state fellowship and the churches, the families, the individuals who are represented here today and this weekend. God, give us a great time together. Help us to honor you with what we do. Help us to be true to your word. And God, I just pray that you would use this weekend to help us grow closer in our relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in opportunities to serve him for your glory for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk with you about the idea of mentoring. I don't know if you've done any research on this or any reading about this or if you've done this. I want to share with you a little bit about how God has put a growing burden on my heart. The book that Tim showed you, Intergenerational Youth Ministry, is actually my seventh book. Years ago, when I served as youth editor at Regular Baptist Press, I wrote a little booklet that's called Mentoring the Next Generation and Developing a Church-Based Strategy. If you were to Google mentoring, isn't it amazing that Google has become a verb? If you were to Google mentoring, you're going to find millions of sites that have to do with mentoring in education. You're going to find millions of sites, millions, that have to do with mentoring in the business world, and a handful of sites that have to do with mentoring in the church. Ladies, I am absolutely convinced that the best mentoring anywhere takes place in and through the local church. And frankly, I'm going to take the next 35, 40 minutes or so to basically say this, and that is the best mentoring probably takes place in the church foyer, and that is caring, godly adults, older people. Go out of your way. I'm going to give you a definition that's more formal in just a minute. To build growing relationships with the younger generation. My burden for the church, my burden for Christians, is that we become intentional. Peggy's going to talk with you a lot about intentional living, and I am too tomorrow morning. But that we're intentional about passing along the faith, our heritage, to generations to come. I believe it's imperative for the church, and I'll just shoot straight with you to say that, to be real honest with you, again, a lot of churches are in a mess, humanly speaking, because we failed to do this, by the way. Is that bold enough for you? So anyway, that's my heartbeat. Let me start with a couple of premise statements on this. Number one, I believe with all my heart that older, I put that in quotation marks, because how do you define older? Well, if you're older than someone else, so join the club. Older adults can and should develop healthy and growing relationships with younger people. I believe that with all my heart. That is a premise statement as we could. Notice a couple things as we get started. Number one, I put down, older adults can and should develop healthy and growing relationship. I think, first of all, that starts, and I'm going to talk with you about this in a minute, with godly adults. I know if you read the newspaper, if you watch the news, every day the news reports are sickening, right? Of predators. And so I do believe that it's important to talk about that this is a godly exercise and that it's a healthy exercise. Without God, without the Word of God, to be real honest with you, adults hanging around with kids without God, without the Word of God, that could become weird very quickly. So let's start with the premise that this is the safest. There's accountability. It's God's plan for that to happen in and through the local church. And I believe that the best mentoring anywhere takes place in the church foyer, developing relationships, building relationships over time with the next generation. Number two, premise statement to get started, and that is mentoring is this. And again, this is not even the definition, formal definition yet. I'll get to that. And that is mentoring basically is using everyday experiences to develop God-honoring mentoring relationships, using everyday experiences. There was a survey that was done a few years ago by an organization that's called the National Network of Youth Ministry. That organization surveyed thousands of millennial, today's young people, and it said that 90%, 9 out of 10, young people of this generation said that they would love to have an adult mentor. 9 out of 10 said that they would love to have an adult mentor. However, in my experience, ever since I wrote that little booklet at RBP, I've had a chance to talk about mentoring all over the country, including here in Iowa before. But I believe in this. I'm doing it again. And even though everywhere I've ever been, adults say to me, Mel, I would love to do this too. But adults always throw in this. But I don't have time. I want to shatter that from the beginning, and that is mentoring, I don't believe, is necessarily a commitment of extra time. I believe that's discipleship, and I think they're different. Mentoring is not necessarily it is a commitment of extra time. It is this. Do what you do, just do it with somebody younger. And that's why I believe in the local church. If I had my way, Tim, if I had my way, I would make it a rule in church. And I don't have my way. And if I did, we'd all be in trouble anyway. But I would make it a rule that every ministry position in the church, every single one, has to include a mentoring aspect. And that is, it's your responsibility to mentor somebody younger as you go through that ministry, honestly. And in the book, that new book, and the older, I talk about that and talk about how intergenerational connections can work in children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, college-age ministry, senior citizens ministry, and all of that. In fact, I know it's because Peggy and I are getting older, but I have a growing burden to plug in senior citizens more than ever before. I'm dead serious. Into the fabric of church youth ministry. Everywhere I go, I talk to youth leaders, and I do that a lot in my ministry. And I tell youth leaders all around the country, you should get senior citizens to be youth leaders. And every senior I've ever talked to said, no, I'm too old. And I get the big Mel cheesy grin and say, no, you get too old to play tackle football. You never get too old to minister to kids. Never get too old to minister to kids. And so I want to talk with you about what that looks like and how that works. As far as I know, the first reference anywhere about mentoring is probably in Homer's The Odyssey. I love literature. I love to read. Remember high school lit class reading the abridged version of Homer, the Iliad and the Odyssey, right? The Odyssey, in the Odyssey, it has a little paragraph there on the board, on the slide. Mentor was the character, the older gentleman, that was entrusted in to provide training for Odysseus's son. Odysseus was this great warrior. He was going off to war. Mentor was the older gentleman that would help his son grow up while he was gone. And in fact, honestly, this is probably, I was going to say this is probably the wrong group to say this to. No, I think it's the right group to say it to. Here it is. So that Odysseus' son would have a male influence while father was gone. So let me say that. As we get started, I think mentoring is best and is right within the same gender. Ladies, I'm going to say this over and over today. Here it is. Be a mentor. I'm dead serious. Be a mentor or find a mentor. I believe that with all my heart. Either be one to somebody else or find one, somebody who can mentor you, a younger woman that you can mentor, an older woman who can mentor you. And I believe Titus 2, other passages in Scripture point out that premise. And that's why I wrote the new book, Intergenerational Youth Ministry. Honestly, it breaks my heart that I have, for several years now, I'm in about 30 different churches a year. And to get ready for that book, I'll talk about this tomorrow afternoon. I visited 90 different churches. I went to one church that had 19,000 people. And I went to one church that had 11 people. All kinds of churches. And I think that we've got to develop healthy intergenerational relationship. It has become traditional in our churches to isolate the generations. We put the children in one room. We put the teenagers in another room. We put the adults somewhere else. We put the senior citizens somewhere else. Ladies, the generations need each other. They really do. I'm a youth ministry guy. I believe in it with all my heart. But if that's all we do is isolate the generations, we're making a big mistake. No wonder, and I'll talk about this tomorrow, no wonder kids are growing up and walking away from church and walking away from a relationship with God. And I'll talk to you about that tomorrow. Anyway, let me give you a fancy definition for mentoring. You can jot this down. There will be a quiz tomorrow on this. I'm a college professor. I have been for a long time. No, I'm just kidding. Write this down, ladies. Mentoring is this. Older, godly adults taking the initiative. It will never happen unless it's intentional. It won't. It'll never happen unless it's intentional. So how does this work? Older, godly. Highlight that. Get out your pink fluorescent highlighter. Underline the word godly. Godly. Older, godly adults taking the initiative to develop personal, growing relationships with individual younger people. Taking the initiative, being intentional. It won't happen without talking about it. Remember, probably, I'm not going to talk about this a lot. Peggy did a little bit. Probably the classic mentoring passage in all of Scripture is Titus 2, right? That older women are to teach younger women to love their husband, love their children, and so on. You read Titus, and Paul told Titus, Mel's paraphrase. He said, you're going to have to teach this stuff. In other words, first century Crete, where Titus was serving centuries ago, first century, there was already a generation gap. In other words, it's not going to happen unless older, godly women are willing to say, I believe in passing along the faith to the next generation. I'm going to be intentional about mentoring the next generation. And that's my burden to share that with you this weekend. Develop growing, any relationship takes time to grow. You're not going to walk up to a kid in your church and say, you know, hi, I'm blank, and be best buds. That's not going to happen. Develop a relationship. Be willing to go out of your way. And by the way, let me say something else. Relationships are fluid. Not all relationships are going to be positive all the time. But I think that's okay, and I think that's what the church is developing intergenerational relationships. With individual younger people, define older, define younger. If you're older than someone else, and someone else is younger, or someone else is younger than in the faith than you, then it's you. To encourage spiritual and personal maturity. I think we've lost this in culture, too, by the way. in the book, Intergenerational Youth Ministry, I talk a little bit about the history of youth ministry. We live in America, you know, in 21st century America, where we separate the generations in school and a lot of other institutions. And so in Western culture, all of us have grown up with the idea it's probably a good thing. It's probably not, if that's all we do. Other cultures around the world are a lot more intentional about developing intergenerational relationships than we are in the West. And that's a burden of mine. And I think that starts in the church to encourage spiritual maturity, but also personal maturity, growing up. I probably say this in every workshop I give around the country, and that is probably this. The most profound thing that I will ever say about youth ministry is this. You ready? I mean, this is really good. I think you'll want to write this in the back of your Bibles. You ready? I'm kidding. Here's the most profound thing I'll probably ever say. You ready for this? This is big. This is huge. You ready for this? Kids grow up. And that's what God wants them to be, want them to do. Ephesians 4 talks about that they no longer be children. And so we want spiritual maturity. We want to be able to hand down life skills. My life message verse is found in Psalm 78, verse 6, where it says that the generation to come might know, that they might not forget the works of God. I think one of the great things that older Christians can do is tell their story, tell their testimony. What did God do in your life? What has God done in your life over the long haul? And encourage younger people with that. That is exactly what they need to hear. Exactly what they need to hear. Our son Todd is doing college ministry. And at the same time, God put a burden on his heart to start a church. You know why? A lot of college ministries, honestly, they do. A lot of university ministries at secular universities, a huge mission field. But all they do is get college kids together with other college kids and do it without the church. They're making a mistake. College kids need older people. They do. And I'll tell you something, again, I'll shout it from the rooftops. Older people need younger people. You do. Young people bring life and energy and excitement and vision and passion. And older people bring experience and wisdom. And the generations need each other. Older, godly adults taking the initiative to develop personal, growing relationships with individual younger people to encourage spiritual and personal maturity. Now, you'll notice that I talked a lot while you were writing. So by now, you have it all written down, right? All right, good. Okay, let's go on. Probably, if there's one verse in Scripture that points out what mentoring is all about, other than Titus 2, I think the foundation would be 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. I put it on the slide. 1 Thessalonians 2, 8 says this, "So affectionately longing for you," New King James, "we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." I love that. Basically, in that verse, there are two ingredients, I think, of an effective and God-honoring mentoring relationship. Number one is the gospel. Said Paul shared with the Thessalonian believers that we loved you. We had this affection for you. So we shared with you the gospel. Not only the gospel, but also our own lives, the two things. But it starts, ladies, it starts with the Scriptures. Adults hanging around with kids without that gets weird quickly. It does. That's why through the accountability of the church, it makes sense and using the Word of God. I mean, there's great wisdom in life, and I'm thankful for older people that have that life wisdom. But I'm going to smile real big and tell you something, too, that I've met, and I know I'll explain it. You'll know what I mean. I've met a lot of nutty old people, too. Have you? I mean, honestly, I mean, it's like, So where's the wisdom come from? Proverbs, Sandy talked about that, the Word of God, the life of living a life for God and studying the Scriptures. Don't forget, please, it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. Not the experience, not the relationships, it's the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and active. It's the Word of God, not necessarily just stories or just coffee or just hanging out together. So don't forget that. Honestly, you're going to hear Peggy a lot this weekend. That's a very good thing. You'll hear her more than me. That's a very good thing. But one of the things that Peggy has taught me a lot about in our marriage, in our relationship, is how the Word of God relates to her life today. And one of the things that Peggy does, honestly, better than anybody I know, is to be able to claim a verse or a passage of Scripture and then be able to use that in life. And I think that's amazing how that is. She'll often send me a text or call me at work and tell me about something that she read that morning and how something that relates to that. And how my point is it's not all that hard to show how God's Word is applicable and is profitable if we're in the Word of God on a regular basis. It's not. Second thing is also Paul said to the Thessalonian believers, he also said, we're also going to share our own lives. And I think that's also a huge thing of mentoring, is being willing to share your life with someone else, being willing to spend life together, to spend time, not necessarily extra time. And you'll notice that woven into the notes, there's a list of mentoring ideas that I'm not going to talk with you about the ideas. And there's tons more. But you'll notice that it starts from someone basically saying, I don't have any time. Oh, really? Again, mentoring is do what you do, just do it with somebody younger. Till somebody that goes up. And there are other people, I admit to you that I didn't make up that chart. I've got that other places, Lake Ann Camp in Michigan, Doug Fields and other places. But there are things that we can do to carve out time in our lives to spend with younger people. And that's the point here in 1 Thessalonians, to spend time in the Scriptures, but also your own lives. I'm not necessarily good at it, but I admit to you that I love, again, if our kids were here, at this moment they would probably be laughing because they know I'm not good at it. But I admit to you that I love toys. You ever hear that saying, ladies? I do know the crowd I'm in. The only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. You know what's true about that? You know what's true about that? Men have toys. And it could be all kinds of things, but I admit that mine often have to be technology. So with me this weekend, I brought my laptop, I brought my iPad, I brought my iPhone. In fact, I know I'm weird. I brought two iPhones. It's weird. You know, I know that. And technology can dominate our lives. I get that. And it's interesting because my children would say, I'm not all that good at it. I'm not, but I do like technology and I like toys. And showing PowerPoint and the best the best YouTube video you've ever seen and all of that. I mean, I love visual aids. I do. I think it's great. And in fact, at my age, I got to tell you that I still like flannel graph. I still can't get over how it sticks, you know. And how you can have Peter walking on the water and under the water and, I love that. I mean, I still like flannel graph. Ladies, let me tell you something. The best visual aid is not a video. The best visual aid is not a craft. The best visual aid is not YouTube or not PowerPoint or not fancy fonts or colors. The best visual aid is you. You know what this generation wants? I speak to thousands still. I speak to thousands of young people a year. You know what this generation, you know what millennial students want to know more than anything else? You know what they want to know? Does this stuff work for you? That's what they want from the church. An older generation of godly people who live out the truth of the gospel in their lives and are willing to share that. I can't tell you, ladies, how powerful that is to the younger generation, for godly, encouraging people to live their faith in front of the millennial generation. It is powerful. Don't forget, I'm a student of generations. I love that. Don't forget, this is the generation that not only grew up with technology. Today's teenagers, all they've known is the internet. That's all they've known. But this is a generation that's growing up with reality television too, right? I mean, who's kidding who? Right? Survivor. Take to some remote island when, well, the cameras are already there. You know, my son, this is probably the wrong crowd for this one. My son got me watching this thing a couple years ago called Man vs. Wild, this survivor thing, Bear Grylls, the survival expert. Well, come to, here he is, all the weird place, I mean, the backwoods desert, you know, or the mountaintops, the survival expert, Bear Grylls. You know, and how he would, you know, eat dead camels. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff. I'm not kidding you. Well, they took it off the air for a while. You know why? And now the reruns are finding them. They're back on. And now there's a disclaimer. They took it off the air. Come to find out, the survival expert, Bear Grylls, this British Secret Service, secret agent guy, was staying in hotels. You know, he was telling us to sleep in the inside of a camel or something. And meanwhile, Bear Grylls is staying at the Marriott, you know, and now the new ones, they're back on, and it says Bear Grylls and his staff stayed overnight at the Hilton, or whatever, reality TV, right? A year ago, a church in Anchorage, Alaska, flew Peggy and I and our kids. They support Christy, and they flew Christy from Germany up over the top. I didn't even know that was possible. But a church in Anchorage flew us all the Walker family for their Bible conference to talk about the balance between ministry and family. And I love that. That's a great burden of mine. And we had a great opportunity at church talking about family ministry and how the churches can help equip families and how parents need to be make a priority of the church and those kinds of things. But I met a guy there who works on the North Slope in Alaska on the pipeline. And he works up where they make the TV show Ice Road Truckers. And they told me that they make most of that up. I was crushed. This is a generation that's grown up with contrived reality, made up. They know it's fake. This generation can spot a fake miles away. You know what they need more than anything else? The reality of Jesus Christ lived out in your life. As we get older, please, please, please don't think the church is putting you out to pasture. Do whatever you can to invest your life, the scriptures, in the lives of the next generation. They need you. They do. They need to know godliness over the long haul. Share your life. I'm not going to take the time to read through that passage, the context of 1 Thessalonians 2, but there are some incredible illustrations of mentoring that are woven into that chapter. One is an illustration, and I know you'll get this, of a loving mother. I don't know of anything that's so sweet, but also, please hear me, as powerful as a mother's love. Again, probably the wrong crowd. But you ever watch football on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon? These big hulking linemen, guys that would make me look small and that ain't easy. You know, those guys. And the camera zeroes in, you know, and they got grass in their helmet, and they're dirty, you know, and they got their teeth knocked out. And the camera zeroes in, and these big, hulking linemen, the kind of guys that would make me look small. And that guy goes, "Hi, Mom." Every year through Vision for Youth, we go to inner city Chicago, inner city Philadelphia, inner city New York City. And we have the opportunity to work in some of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the country. And I'm telling you, these gangbangers, these tough hood, those guys, you know who rules the day? Mom. And it is amazing how powerful your influence. And God uses that as an illustration of ministry. I love that. There's also an illustration of a hard-working father laboring night and day. My dad's been gone for almost a decade. He's in heaven. I thank God for the legacy of my family. But my most vivid memory of my dad is that he worked hard. My dad couldn't understand that work could look like using a computer. He couldn't understand that. But he thought work means labor, physical labor. And my most vivid memory of my grandpa Walker was hard work. He retired from the Pennsylvania Railroad when he was 65, sat around for a couple days, drove my grandmother nuts, and went out and got a job and worked there until he died at 89. Work hard. Good illustrations of what ministry is all about. A loving mother, a hard-working father. How does mentoring work? Well, you can take a look at the chart. Notice that the very first thing on the chart there in the notes talks about the church foyer. Please, if there's anything you do, you know how to start this? I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about specific ideas tomorrow. But Sunday afternoon, this is how, or Sunday morning at church, just go out of your way to say hello and develop a relationship with somebody younger or somebody younger in the faith. It isn't all that hard. That's how this starts. And you could read through the ideas, but let me shut this down by giving you just some things to consider about mentoring, and then we'll be done. Number one, you can read through the chart, look through the ideas. Most of them are not original with me, but let me just share with you some concepts, if you will, and I'll be done with the workshop. Number one, okay, where do you start? I think number one is pray that God will give you a growing burden. Pray that God will give you a growing burden for specific younger people in your church. Pray. One of the amazing things about prayer, did you ever pray for somebody you don't know? Like you go to a different church and you start praying for the missionaries, and by the time you meet them, you feel like you know them because you've been praying for them. You ever do that? Prayer, as you pray for somebody, God uses that to put a burden on your heart for somebody else. And I put this in the book, and I'll probably forget and say this tomorrow. I'll probably forget and say a lot of things tomorrow. At my age, that starts to happen. And Peggy's worse than me. But I was in a church getting ready for the Intergenerational Youth Ministry book. And it's not original. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had an original idea in my life, but I love this one. The youth pastor at the church actually went to the computer and made up baseball cards, like a baseball card, of every teenager in the youth group and gave them to the senior citizen Sunday school class. The Sunday I was there, the senior citizens were actually trading the baseball cards. You know, I'll trade you two freshmen for a senior, like that. And our church isn't all that creative. We give them a list. But it's like the missionary thing. It is. It's like that, right? It's one thing to say, okay, God bless the missionaries and hope that God figures it out. It's another thing to pray specifically for specific missionaries with specific needs, right? And so don't do this. Go to the senior citizens and tell them to pray for the youth group. Don't do that. Go to the senior citizens, godly over the long haul. If there's one thing that godly seniors ought to be able to do, is pray, right? and get them to pray for the young people specifically by name. You know what will happen? They'll start to develop a burden, and they'll want to go find them. They'll want to go talk to them. They'll want to find out how they did in the soccer game, how they did in algebra test, how they did in applying for college. Believe me, it happens. And we'll talk more about the specific illustrations of that tomorrow in the workshop. This is just to whet your appetite on this generation thing. Another one. Look for younger people with specific needs and those who need encouragement. I love the stories of encouragers in Scripture, don't you? When the church was new in Acts 11, the church started in Jerusalem and moved to Antioch, and there's a story there about how Barnabas, Uncle Barnabas, the encourager, that was his nickname, his real name was Joseph, how he shows up at Antioch, and it says there in Acts 11, he encouraged them all. I love that. He encouraged everybody. You know something, ladies? You know that. You know this. You know it. Boy, there are a lot of discouragers in the church today. Aren't there? Doesn't it seem that way to you? Boy, everybody's a critic. Everybody's mad about something. Everybody's upset about something, you know, and they're going to cause problems in your church. Get ticked at something and go to somebody else's church and cause problems there, right? Right? I love the encouragers. Barnabas shows up and he says he encouraged them all. I want to be that guy. I do. I want to be that guy. I want to find those people that are such encouragers to help the next generation to grow up and live for God. What an amazing thing. Isn't that what we want? Peggy talked about that in the last session. Isn't that what we want from our kids to grow up and go on for God? Let's encourage them to do that. Look for younger people with specific needs. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. But my goodness, we were doing this mentoring thing at our church at Heritage and Clark Summit. And we preached about mentoring, and some of us were talking about that. And so we were going to have this meeting of adults that if you're interested in mentoring, come to the meeting. And we were going to have actually kids or adults sign up for specific kids. In our church at that time was a girl. Her dad actually was my roommate in college at BBC years ago. And a girl, Amber, at that time was the number one girls basketball player in the entire state of Pennsylvania. So I'm not kidding you. All kinds of people said, we're talking about mentoring, all kinds of people said, I'll take Amber. And what they really meant was, I'll go to ball games. And Amber, her daddy was my roommate. Amber needs encouragers. She needs mentoring and all of that. But what about the kid who never gets her name in the paper? What about them? In fact, if there's one thing that the body of Christ, the family of God, ought to be, is that we ought to be about the business of the kids with needs, the kids who are struggling, and helped, you know, adopt them in, if you will, into the family of God. And so let's not forget that there are students with needs. So look for them. And talk to the pastor and the youth pastor or whatever about who are those people with specific needs. Because chances are, and that brings us to the next one quickly, chances are that you'll find people who connect with you. Number three, third check mark, is older adults should consider mentoring younger people with similar areas of interest. And there always will be them. There always will be people that have had an interest in you. If you were here for the workshop and you heard Peggy talk about that, I'll tell you my side of the Gavin story, okay? I'll tell you the truth. And Gavin was a young man in our church. Peggy was afraid of him. A lot of people were. Then his mom died. We went over to the house. I'm talking to the dad. The children are there, Gavin and his little sister. Peggy's talking to the kids. And I'm talking to Don, the dad. And all of a sudden, I look around and realize that Peggy's gone with this kid she's afraid of. I'm telling you, Peggy can handle herself. She's okay. My burden was for the dad. He just lost his wife. He just lost the mom. But Peggy could resonate with Gavin, because Peggy's dad died when she was 17. And she had a burden for this young man that had just lost a parent, because Peg understood. My parents just passed away a couple of years ago. I don't know what it was like to lose a dad, lose a parent when I was in high school. See, my point is, there are often life experiences that you have that give you the perfect opportunity for mentoring because of what God has brought you through. In fact, Corinthians talks about that the sufferings, the things that we suffer, are often the things that God gives us to minister to other people. So let me just talk with you a little bit about what are some of those connections. Number one, there are in life natural social connections. You just know them somehow. Great. That's a great place to start. Go encourage the young people that you know. Go out of your way to meet people you don't know. But if you know them somehow, if God has brought that young person along your path somehow, great. Do that. Start there. Number two, chances are there are young people that have a vocational similarity. In other words, they want to do what you do. What you have done with a career, or what you have done in your life, that there's probably connections. Number three is there may be a geographical fit. In other words, they live near you. You know, and they go to your church. That gives you an opportunity maybe to drive a kid home from church or from youth group or something. They live near you. What a great opportunity. Another one is the same hobbies or crafts as you. I wrote my little book on mentoring. And I got the copies. I'm an author. I got the copies back. So I sent a copy to my mom. I wanted somebody to read it. And my mom's in heaven now too. My mom was a very gifted seamstress. Very good at that. Made beautiful quilts. My mom read the book, called me up. She said, "Mel, if I invite a teenager from our church up to my apartment and show her how to do a quilt, is that mentoring?" And I'm like, "Mom, way to go. Exactly right." So chances are in your life, there's just something that you like to do. Why not use that as an opportunity? Chances are there are young people in your church that like to do that too. Our church honestly has a whole bunch of them going now. We have students every week who play golf with older people. We have a group in our church that work on cars. We have crafts and those kinds of things. We have this cancer thing go with people who have gone through the horrors of that in their life. In our church, they have a karate club at our church. I don't get it. I stay gone that night. I don't want somebody to kick me in my head. "Hey, there's Mel. He's tall. Let's practice." I don't want that. But chances are that there are things that you like to do. And why not use that as an opportunity? It's another one: special interest or abilities or personal life experiences. And probably God has led you through some things, and you've gotten the victory over those things, and those things could give you the great opportunity to share life with a younger person because of those. Here's another one just to think about. Parents of teens should think about developing mentoring relationship with some of their kids' friends. Our kids, our children, Christy, Todd, and Travis, are 2 years apart, 2 years apart each. I'm sure that that's family planning. I'm sure it is. For years and years and years, our house was filled with teenagers. In fact, if you're a parent of teenager, that is free parenting advice, by the way. Let your kids' friends come to your house. It's better than they go anywhere else if they come to your house. They get to know you. Our house we live in Clark Summit kind of has a split foyer thing. You come in the door, you got to go up or you got to go down. What happened over the years is the family room was downstairs. Some kids, Peggy and I would just be there. All of a sudden our door would open and close. And their kids, but after a while, what would start happening is the kids would come up and hang out with us and never go downstairs. But and then our kids, Christy, Todd, and Travis, they all grow up. And I had children to shovel the walk and mow the lawn, and they all left me. And still, some of our kids' friends come to our house. They do. That's what mentoring relationships happen. And then church and church ministries are ideal ways to build intergenerational connections. In other words, if you're involved in something in the church, why not involve somebody younger than you, somebody older than you? Honestly, here's the deal. Be a mentor or find a mentor. I believe that that's what God would have for us. I believe the church is the best way to connect the generations, and that's the burden that I have to share with you, and so on. I know we're like right on, right? Time-wise. But let me do this. I'm a big boy. I'll take the heat. I want to eat too. But anyway,